Call this meeting to order, please. Good morning, everyone. Can we have a roll call, please?
Flight.
Here.
Cathedral City. Coachella.
Here.
Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
Indian Wells.
Here.
La Quinta. I'm sorry. Indio.
Here.
La Quinta.
Here.
Palm Desert.
Here.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside County. Agua Caliente.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Any public comments? Any comments from the public? Anything not on the agenda? Seeing none. Mr. Director, any comments or any comments from the membership?
None from me.
We can do this a record time, aren't we? Consent calendar. Anybody need anything pulled or we're going to blow through it?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just one correction to the minutes of September 10th. Just let the record show that I was in attendance, not Tom Davis.
Joanna, so noted?
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else? We are rolling.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second. Frank, thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Discussion action item 6A, consider contracts for Green for Life program and Desert Cities Energy Partnership. Katie and Will Jingle. There she is, Katie.
Here we go. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is an update and a request for your recommendation to the executive committee. Very briefly, the staff report gives you a lot of detail, but very briefly, we have received a notification from Southern California Edison that the Desert Cities Energy Partnership and our strategic plan activities called Green for Life will be extended. As your staff report notes, the original date was December 31st, and just on November 8th, the California Public Utilities Commission decided to extend both programs through 2014. That's good news, certainly, for the Desert Cities Energy Partnership, which has provided a lot of support to the cities. We have been talking to the city of Palm Desert about the city joining the partnership, John, since the Palm Desert Partnership is coming to a close at the end of the year. And we're anticipating, actually had last week a working group meeting with all the staff. We're anticipating in January coming around to your staff to take a look at opportunities for projects. And I think in particular we're emphasizing to Edison and others the need for funding sources that would support municipal energy projects, because obviously that's a challenge. Likewise with the strategic plan, there was an extension. We are currently continuing work on this climate action and energy action plans that have been developed. We're at the very closing stages of those for a number of cities, and with some we'll appreciate the opportunity to have a little bit more time to finish those out. Our expectation is to try to get all those plans together and completed over the next couple of months by the end of the year. We do need some time to complete the CEQA compliance process, which we're doing right now, and would probably anticipate coming to your councils for adoption of the climate and energy action plans in the first quarter of 2013. The extension actually allows us to do a project that we have long intended to move forward on, which is to develop a application for the Green Building Program, a web app, a tool that would make it possible for folks locally to go online, take a look at some of the specific desert-focused benefits that could be done for their properties, and really also take a look at what are some of the most cost-effective things they could do for their property. It ties in very nicely with the Green Building Program that's now been adopted by four of our cities, and we anticipate will be adopted coming up soon down the line. So one of the items before you is a recommendation of a contract with eWorks Media, a local firm, to help us complete that web app and updates on our website. Just briefly, we're also anticipating a workshop with La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella on some of the elements of the plan the city staff from those cities have asked for that would allow them to take advantage of some of the essentially the benefits coming out of the Green for Life program. With that, you have the staff recommendation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Katie. I see a question. John?
Katie, does Palm Desert have, our program ends December 31st, 2013 with the PUC and our partners. Do we have to do anything to get into this one January 1st?
You know, we haven't had any specific direction from Edison on that, John. We have had meetings with yours, with Martine and Edison staff to talk about that transition, and I would anticipate we're actually still waiting for the contract that would extend the partnership. And I would anticipate that we can either just add Palm Desert at that time, and your council might have to do a resolution as all the other cities did when the partnership was established. So I don't know for sure yet, but I'll let you know as soon as we find out from Edison.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Brian?
It's not particularly a question of this. It's more informational. I was wondering if any of your cities have been besieged by the anti-Agenda 21 folks. Our general plan's moving forward in La Quinta, and we have a sustainable element in there, and it's become a big topic of discussion of groups in the community, I don't know how big, concerned about the fact that all these green and sustainable activities are just implementing the UN Agenda 21, and we're going to take over the world and things of that nature. So I thought I'd use this as an opportunity to see if anybody else is running into that, because it just surfaced out of nowhere.
We're not updating our general plan right now, so maybe that's not bringing them out.
Okay.
Things take longer to hit life. In fact, Barack Obama is just getting sworn into his first term next week.
Thank you.
This meeting's being taped.
Oh, the conspiracy theorists are found. Any other questions for Katie? Katie, I appreciate all you've put into this program. It's been tremendous. And Jim, my public works director, is always telling me the latest you've come up with, and I appreciate all you and your other fellow staff members are putting into this.
Likewise, we're very appreciative of everyone's staff time and all the help we're getting, so thank you.
Do I have a motion?
So I move the motion.
I'll second that.
Great. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Katie. Michael, 6B, by the time I read the title, you will have been through your report. I'll dispense with that.
Hopefully. CBAG has been very successful in procuring grants for the Parkway 1 E11, and that will allow us to move to the next phase, which is master planning of the project, preliminary engineering, environmental documentation, and possibly final engineering and environmental for what we call an early action section on the project. So far to date, we've received over $2 million in grants, about $1 million, $18 short of $1 million from the California Strategic Growth Council, $750,000 from the Park and Open Space District from the county, and finally $291,000 from Caltrans. We're asking today to consider just the grants from the SGC and the Open Space District, because the under grant has already been authorized for signature by the executive director. In July, we issued an RFP for consulting services to help us with the project. We received five grant applications. After we received those, we established a technical group consisting of local planners, public works directors, and the like, including Rick Daniels, to review those. And from there, we took the top three and went to an oral interview with Rick again. He was on that. And a couple of the more of the elected from the Valley to help with the final selection. Both groups recommended that Alta Planning and Design out of Portland, Oregon be awarded the contract. And so that is the recommendation that's come for you today. With that, the recommendation is before you in the staff report. Answer any questions. I would like to introduce George Hudson from Alta Planning and Design. He's
welcome
with us today. One other thing before we close. Although Alta Planning is the lead on this, there are a number of local firms, LSA, MSA, RBF, and others that will also be participating in this work. Any questions?
Will those others be subs to Alta?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions, Michael? John?
When you interviewed Alta or asked for proposals from the engineering and planning firms, did you know you were going to get this money? Or I see that the contract with Alta is for $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. Was that money already in CBAC?
The money from Southern California. We'd received notice that we're going to be awarded that money. It hasn't been, the contracts haven't been finalized yet. Obviously, if that doesn't happen, we do.
So are we entering in an agreement with Alta without having the money in hand?
No, the money's there. We just need to do the final paperwork. As soon as the executive committee authorizes the Strategic Growth Council, we can sign those documents, send those out, and we'll. I'm assuming we'll finalize the contract with Alta after all that paperwork is done.
Okay.
And so the both the state and the county parks district have taken action on these awards. It's just a question of paperwork. We could certainly work with Alta, and I assume they wouldn't have any problem if, in the event, the contracts were not executed with the state nor the county, our contract with Alta could be terminated under some provision. I see that as being a very low-risk proposition.
Okay. Any other questions for Mike?
Dave, I have a question not directly related to this, and maybe it's better for Tom, but do you know what the status of the AQMD mitigation projects? I know there's been a hit that come back for some reconsideration. Have you heard anything about timing? Or?
Yeah, I do, and obviously this is all tied together. The funding today is about planning and engineering design environmental compliance. The money that we sought from the Air District is really more about construction capital funding. We put a major grant application together, close to $38 million request. The AQMD staff recommended that the Parkway project be provided $17.4 million, along with a number of other projects. I think City of Coachella had a couple, and Desert Hot Springs had a couple, and some of the other cities as well, and some nonprofit groups and private enterprises. And some of you, I know this is old information, but I'll repeat it and give you the latest. The South Coast Air Quality Management District Administrative Committee, which is a subset of the governing board, all elected or appointed officials, met in the Valley a few weeks ago and heard testimony from those recommended for award and those that didn't get award, just generally the public at large. And out of that testimony, it appeared that the consensus among the administrative committee was to reallocate particularly two large awards that were going to AES, a major energy company. AES had proposed two projects within the six-mile radius funding. Remember, there were three pots of money totaling about $8 million, one for repowering of wind turbines and the other for a solar project. The committee heard a lot of negative testimony about funding a multinational to do what others have to do with their own money. And the committee seemed to be leaning towards reallocating those funds towards other projects in the six-mile radius area. The administrative committee will be meeting on December 14th, I believe it is. Is that a Friday, if you guys look at your calendars?
Yes.
On December 14th, and at that meeting, likely getting a revised staff recommendation related to particularly that six-mile allocation and any other adjustments that have been made. There were other kind of technical questions that came up during the committee process, and the staff has not responded to CBAC's questions, let alone the dozens of other questions that came up. So whether they meet that timeline or not, I'm not quite sure. If they do, the administrative committee will make a decision on December 14th, and the recommendations then will go forward to the full Air District Board in January.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, maybe Mike or Tom, of the $1.5 million, would you have an estimate of what is going to be available locally to local consultants?
I did look into that. It's about 60%.
Okay.
And on that front, we were certainly sensitive to that. There was no local preference contract provision in the RFP. Of the five firms, I could tell you that this one actually had the highest percentage of local involvement. So we certainly view that as a positive factor, and I think the committee members did as well.
Plus involvement with COD.
Plus involvement with COD.
Anything else for Michael?
What was the timeline on this, Michael?
Oh, December 2015.
Yeah. We have a two-year timeline. Two-year? Three-year.
We have a once We have a three-year time frame with the state state funding,
right.
And the work program with ALTA is approximately 2.5 years. There's a lot of work to be done.
Yep.
Well, hats off to Tom and his staff. This is real money starting to come in for this project now, so it's getting serious.
Thank you.
Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. C, request by the City of La Quinta to begin participation in the CVAG pump program. Alan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a staff report you've heard before. If you look at down near the bottom of the page, you'll see that you heard this in June of this year. And at that meeting, you approved or recommended, you approved staff recommendations, one or two that are wholly included in the staff recommendation that you're going to hear today. But at the time, there was some information that you did not know about, and staff didn't know about. But we discovered following the meeting with TAC and therefore made changes to the staff report and to the recommendation based on those changes. And of course, with the cooperation of the City of La Quinta. Little background, Measure A was approved first in 1988. Requirement that jurisdictions who did collect TUMP would also, they would collect TUMP to offset the impacts of congestion. The measure language provided that jurisdictions who did not collect Measure A would forfeit their local, which did not collect TUMP would forfeit their local Measure A to CVAG. And that's been the case since 1988. The City of La Quinta does not belong to the TUMP program. They have belonged to the regional transportation program by their in-lieu sacrifice. The letter attached is the last one of several that have transpired over the past several years with the City of La Quinta. They are now requesting to participate in the TUMP program. And as they point out, the City will begin collecting TUMP and remitting those funds to CVAG. They will then start to receive their local Measure A instead of that money going to CVAG. Based upon unaudited information gathered for the 2011-12, the last fiscal year end report, the accumulated total of estimated uncollected TUMP from 1988 to the present will be $22,109,000. During that same time, if the City of La Quinta had collected in that same time period, the City of La Quinta has forfeited, instead of collecting TUMP, they forfeited $15,496,000, which leaves a balance of about $6,613,000. However, the recommendation today is that interest on that unpaid TUMP be added to the total owed. That interest is estimated at $4,326,000. But as I said, during the last several years, we've had discussions with the City, and it is staff's recommendation that we recognize the City of La Quinta as having completed a number of projects for which CVAG's share would have been $5,410,000. That leaves a total of about $5.5 million that the City of La Quinta would agree to repay by continuing to forfeit one half of their local Measure A until the amount was fully repaid. That number will be formalized once we get to an agreement. Of course, interest changes daily, and so the final number, once we sign an agreement, we'll know and be able to track. The CVAG Transportation Committee created an ad hoc subcommittee to consider these issues. The subcommittee included several of your jurisdictions. They recommended approval prior to your action at your June meeting, and once they learned of the changes, they recommended approval of the recommendations that are listed in today's staff report. One of the issues of concern to the subcommittee was the ability of jurisdictions to opt in or opt out of some of our programs. They recommended the CVAG staff be directed to explore policy language which would encourage CVAG members to remain participants in ongoing successful regional programs. And if we come up with any language, we of course will be vetted through the committee process and you will see it again. The recommendation today, then, is found on page 237, the recommendation of the Ad Hoc Subcommittee and the Transportation Committee to approve the request of the City of La Quinta by letter dated August 16, 2012, which is attached to the staff report, to begin participation in the CVAG Transportation Uniform Mitigation Fee, points 1, 2, and 3. I'm glad to answer any questions.
So moved.
Second.
Boy, that was quick. Safe to assume looking into the school with this?
Yes.
And real quick, recommendation number three, if I may, what's the timing on that, or is that just something that's always going to be out there where we're coming back?
He's going to set the timing. I have a draft staff report on my desk that he and I need to look at, and we'll get back to it as soon as we can.
Soon in the next few months, we'll plan on bringing something back.
That works. Motion and a second. Any other discussion?
You know, regional transportation communication projects like this are so important. I think it really puts us at the forefront. If we hadn't have done this, we, saying CBAG in general, years ago, we wouldn't be where we're at economically and everything else. I just think it's great that they're coming.
David?
So is there policy language being drafted that will make it hard for cities to exercise discretion about moving in and out? I mean, are you working on that?
We're working on language to provide incentives and disincentives, and however that turns out, I'm not sure.
But that's forthcoming.
That'll yes,
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Interested to see that.
I'm interested to draft it.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. D, agreement with the City of Indio to approve Highway 111 between Rubidoux Street and 760 feet west of Madison Street.
$5.5 million. Just the amount that Laquita's buying in? Coincidence?
We like that.
Pure.
We could have put the chest request.
Yeah, well.
This is a standard reimbursement agreement with the City of Indio to construct Highway 111 between Rubidoux and just west of Madison Street. There are two segments of the project. There's a map found on page 248. The larger segment is from Rubidoux to Madison. That's 15th in the priority list of 247 rankings. The lesser project, the segment from Madison to 730 feet west, is ranked 132nd. However, it would be smart to leave a gap of 760 feet, 30 feet, whatever, 60 feet, in that project at this time, so staff is recommending that they be included together. The recommendation today, staff has informed the City of Indio has completed the engineering plans for the project. Estimated cost is $7.4 million. CBAG 75% share would be $5,550,000. Recommendation today is that we approve the reimbursement agreement with the City of Indio to approve Highway 111 between Rubidoux and 760 feet west of Madison Street in the amount not to exceed $5,550,000.
Thank you, Alan. Any questions?
So moved.
Second.
I have a question. On your map, I couldn't find Rubidoux. Maybe the print is not small. Where is Rubidoux?
It's the east end of that curving line, John.
It's right by the mall. In 111. So where the Firestone, the ABM, Cardin is.
Yeah, I can see it. It's at the very.
It's the last dot.
Yeah.
On that dotted line.
It will include funding for better maps.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Last item, agreement with the City of Desert Hot Springs to improve Indian Avenue between 20th Avenue and Dillon Road. Alan.
Item 6E is also a standard reimbursement agreement. This also consists of two separate segments within the TTPS. Both of them, however, are ranked very highly and they're appropriate to be done together. The City of Desert Hot Springs is in application for a multi-agency public infrastructure grant from the U.S. Department of Commerce, Economic Development Administration, amount of $3 million. The reimbursement agreement is contingent upon that grant being approved. The city is also involved in a memorandum of understanding with the City of Palm Springs and the County of Riverside. The reimbursement agreement is also contingent upon that agreement being executed. Staff's recommendation is found on 260, recommends approval of the reimbursement agreement with the amount not to exceed $8,547,562, points 1 and 2 there.
Thank you, Alan. Any questions?
Move approval.
Second.
Just to be sure I'm clear, or I've done my due diligence, Tom, Palm Springs is fine with this, apparently?
Yes.
Great. Any other questions? Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
I just have a question on protocol. Since, is this a conflict for me to vote on it?
No.
Okay, then I cast my vote as yes. Thank you.
He said that anyway. Aaron, you've sat there very quietly for 25 minutes now. It's your turn.
Great, good morning. Aaron Sassy with the League of California Cities. Thank you for having me here today. Just to go back to one point that was brought up earlier, I just wanted to make sure you're all aware that Mayor Ron Loveridge serves on EQMB currently, and with him retiring, that seat is now open, and actually tonight there should be an appointment to his position once he's no longer termed out, or once he's termed out in January. So you may know tonight who is going to be filling his spot prior to our meeting.
Might be an interesting last name.
I know, there's probably already rumors out there on who it may be, but just wanted to make sure you're all aware of that. This last week in Sacramento, all of our leadership from all the various divisions and all of our policy committees and our board of directors met in Sacramento and set our strategic priorities for next year, for this coming year. And what came out of it, we actually have four this time rather than our traditional three, but everybody decided they wanted us to build lasting partnerships. And the reason behind that is, you know, we've had some successful ballot initiatives, as you all know. It's resulted in maybe some bad feelings amongst cities, and we're not super popular with everybody. So we're going to really want to work to rebuild these relationships. We have new legislators coming in, new city officials, and we need to bring in additional partners, not just with the legislature, but with the business community and community leaders. So build lasting partnerships. The next one is to expand community and economic development tools and funding options for city services. It's pretty broad, but they wanted to make sure that we're doing everything that's necessary to help cities financially continue pension and other post-employment benefits reform, just to keep working on implementing the pension legislation that came out already this year, AB 340, and then also to implement an effective league branding strategy. That one's a little bit more internal, but they are talking about potentially rebranding our logo and just our image and everything, so we'll see what comes out with that. As I'm sure you're all aware, we do have our next division membership meeting tonight. Rancho Mirage is hosting it, and I just got an email saying we have 89 people RSVP'd as of this morning, so it's actually a very large meeting. I encourage you all to come, hopefully, if you aren't already signed up. We also have, obviously, as I already mentioned, several new legislators. I think I'm going to make a big effort moving forward to try to bring our legislators to more of our division meetings. I think that we need to strengthen our local interaction. I know that you all talk to your members frequently, but I want to make sure that we're including them so they understand what's important to cities. So hopefully we can start getting all of our new members to participate. Just a litigation update. As you are aware, we're still waiting on 1484 and the clawback provisions. I don't really see anything happening on that too quickly, but we do also have the vehicle license fee lawsuit. Has to do with SB 89 and the funds that go to recently annexed cities that have recently annexed land and those new four cities. We had some developments just this last week. We expected a ruling by today, and I guess Prop 30 put a little bit of a kink in that. So the judge has asked us to do another briefing. We suspect that that will be early December. We hope that that means there'll be a ruling by maybe the end of the year. So stay tuned. I feel like every time I do an update, there's something different on this piece of litigation. So we'll see what happens. Not sure if that's good or bad for us, though, that now Prop 30 is playing into that lawsuit. We also had a very successful golf tournament that raised money for our advocacy efforts. I know many of your cities participated and helped us out, so thank you very much for that. We actually did better than other divisions that have been doing golf tournaments for several years, so I think that something very very good and something that we should be proud of. We raised over $34,000 for our advocacy efforts. Just this morning, I presented kind of of a draft plan that we're working on with the Inland Empire Division, which is San Bernardino County. We created a task force to talk about how our region can better work together on public safety realignment issues, AB 109, and also what amendments, if any, would be helpful more on a statewide level. So there's kind of a two-pronged approach, and several recommendations came out of that task force. The Inland Empire Division has already approved them. It will be taking it up tonight, both at our executive committee and if they approve it at the general membership meeting. But I wanted you to all be aware that we do have this working document that we would like to give to our public safety committee of the league if it does get approved tonight. So stay tuned for more information on that. Just a couple other informational notes. We have the new mayor and council member training conference in January up in Sacramento. So if you have any new elected officials, I want to encourage you to send them up to Sacramento for those days. It's January 16th through 18th. Really good chance for them to just hear about what's been going on in the state, what our priorities are, and to meet some of the legislators. And then also, the city manager conference is at the end of January in San Francisco. So if you haven't signed up for that, I know you all want to go. You know, a few days in San Francisco. And just one other note, the league last week while we were in Sacramento hosted a, it was put together a little bit last minute, but we hosted a reception for the new legislators that were up in Sacramento getting training, and 24 of them actually came, so it's about 60% of the new ones, and to pull it off in a couple of days, I think it really says a lot, and I think that this will really help some of our new relationships with these legislators, because we're the first group to actually reach out to them, so hopefully that gets our foot in the door with some of these new ones. But with that, I'm happy to take any questions, but thank you for having me here today.
Thanks, Erin. Let me ask something of committee members. You and I talked briefly before the meeting. Now that we have our letters from the Riverside County Auditor on mailing a check to Governor Moonbeam from our housing set-aside funds, is anybody thinking like me that we don't want to send money that we'll never get back? Is there a concerted effort to do something other than mail in checks?
We had a meeting to confer with DOF staff. We're not sending the check yet.
We did a meet confer on projects, and we haven't heard back on either of those. Of course, we've done the appeal process ever since the formal appeal way back in February that the folks on the phone knew nothing about, by the way. All 250 pages of it went into the ozone. Anybody else working on not sending checks in?
We already cleared on our
answers. Makes all look what? Teacher's pet over there? What are you doing?
Yeah, we had a meet and confer as well. Well, we basically transferred our housing operation to the county, so wasn't our money anyway. Although we're supposed to get some back.
Maybe.
Eventually. Maybe. Maybe never.
And we didn't have to make a payment at all.
I don't think we made a payment. We were, Cathedral City, we were cleared on housing, but we have a waiting to hear the results of meeting convert on the projects.
We're waiting to go to meet.
On housing?
Yeah, we have not that again.
And Tom, you're?
We're waiting on housing.
As well, okay. Well, it's going to be interesting, Erin. If you think of anything that we could do collectively, let me know, please.
I will. Thank you.
Question. Erin.
Sorry, John.
Erin, what do you make of the Democratic supermajority? What changes are going to occur? What are they going after?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because not only do we have the supermajority in both houses, we also are starting the new 12-year terms. So some of these new legislators are going to be, you know, around for 12 years, which I think is almost a more important dynamic because they'll be around long enough to at least maybe know what they're doing. I think that we're going to likely see a split within the Democrat Party. You'll have the very liberal members, and then you'll have the more moderate members that will likely probably put a stop to some of the programs that traditionally would have been, you know, stopped by Republicans. So what it means for cities in particular, I'm not really sure. We already know that there's still a budget deficit, even with Prop 30 passing. So they will be looking for money, and actually enterprise zones are something we think is probably an area that they'll try to get some revenue from. So if you have enterprise zones, know that that will probably be somewhere they look to get funding from. So I just don't know how much protection there, you know, the balance, but I think you'll see the balance coming from more moderate members.
I've heard rumors that even after the passage of Prop 30, they're going to go after our 1 cent sales tax.
I think that, you know, they will be looking for, they're going to be looking for revenue. There's still a $1.9 billion projected deficit as of now. How much it will be, you know, come when they start working on the budget, I don't know. So they will be looking for sources of revenue. Obviously, cities have been a target for that revenue in the recent past. So I wouldn't say that we're protected. I wouldn't say that we're safe. I would say that we need to still be concerned.
Well, the most recent failed attempt was gas tax. Is there any rumblings about that being in jeopardy?
That's one that I'm not sure. I think we'll see. The only rumor I've really heard is the enterprise zones, just because that was something that was on the table earlier, and the Republicans were able to stop. So, but you have a bunch of new legislators coming in, so I think it's really anyone's guess on what they're going to go after.
So on the briefing you had for the new legislators, what was your headcount of folks that had moved up from local government? Was it?
Actually, that's a good question. We had about a third of them. We have this program, it's called CCLI. It's the California Civic Leadership Institute, where we encourage people that are in local government to run for higher office. And there's briefings, you know, it's people that have an interest in running for higher office. We bring them in, we send them to a couple of different conferences, bring in different department agency heads to really give them an education. So hopefully they have the tools that when they do become legislators, they're a little bit more friendly to cities. So several of those candidates were also in the room, but it was about a third.
But at the legislative update last week, Dan Carrick was saying that sometimes that doesn't work out well for local jurisdictions.
It doesn't. They get to Sacramento and forget their roots, unfortunately. So, but we are trying to revamp the CCLI program and really expand it out. So, I mean, if you know of your city officials that do have a desire to run for higher office someday, please let me know, because we do try to get people in that CCLI program.
It'd be easier to point out the ones that don't want to run.
Ones that have a desire and actually probably will. How about that?
Anything else for Aaron? Our next meeting's executive committee, December 3rd. Our next meeting, January 14th. If there's anything pressing,
David, can I make a comment? Just need to be my last meeting at CBAG. I've announced my retirement, and to take effect, December 27th will be my last day on the payroll. I've enjoyed very much working with CBAG staff and predecessors of CBAG, current staff. It's been quite a run. I've been in Cathedral City 13 years. In October, I received one of five service awards from ICMA for being in this crazy business for 45 years.
Wow.
It deserves a lot more clapping, I'll tell you. But in any event, that and personal reasons and all that, I actually went in on election day to file for retirement so that there was no misunderstanding over what this scuttlebutt was in Cathedral City, so that it's really time. I'm at a point where it's a reasonably good time for Cathedral City and a good time for me personally, so I just wanted to announce this will be my last TAC meeting. I'm not sure what will happen. There will be somebody here the next go-around, I'm sure, but thanks to all of you. I've enjoyed working with you, and especially the CBAG staff.
You will be missed. You've done your bit for king and country. Nobody can deny that. So you've been your wisdom has been appreciated in this group. So we wish you well in your retirement.
Do we have to vote on that? Because I've moved.
You're going to vote on it. All right. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you on the 3rd.